Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How is the farm doing?
Oh, it's great. We got a new farmhand today. It's always very exciting. And we probably did as much compost processing as we have ever done. So we're going to make a huge pile.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a Guinness World Record or something like that.
Yeah, I that's a good idea, Michael. We should find out. What if there is such a thing? Yeah, if not, we could start it, right? We'd be the first. And, of course, if we started it, then we would clearly be the winners until somebody else came along.
Very exciting.
Kind of a message about life, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have an announcement here to start us off.
All right.
Your Best Shape Possible continues with another session starting August 12th, and registration mm-hmm. is open for newcomers not already registered in this workshop. This open-air type offering on Wednesdays provides great support for taking good care of ourselves.
Yeah, and so if I understand that correctly, if I'm already signed up, I don't need to register again. But if I know somebody who would like to be in it but isn't, then I could let them know and they could register.
Great. So we don't have
or
to
anybody
register.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So mm-hmm. we don't have to register again if we already registered.
I think that's how I heard that. We'll get a correction, of course, if we've
okay.
understood it incorrectly. But yeah, no, I think that's it.
Okay. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And Sherry, we have a special focus for tonight's show, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, indeed we do.
Do you want to speak to that? Or
well,
do you want to read the
Michael, I'm checking to see if we... okay, the correction is we got it correct.
Oh, okay.
About the registration. Yeah, we did it right. So there, see there, we can be trusted on our own. yes, okay. I won't put you on the spot. So not this week, but last week...
Yeah.
In the year-long retreat, we had an old Zen story that a number of people found upsetting or disconcerting, or I will find out from them how they found it. And so since we don't have a lot of time to go into that sort of thing, in that venue, I asked that people...
Okay, and then how about you and I check in?
Whoa!
Okay, I need to get that.
I hear Jen talking.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
Yeah, she's muted.
All right. So I asked people if they wanted to talk about it more to call in this evening on Open Air so that we can continue talking about that mm-hmm. That story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That sounds fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I hope people will do that. And if people want to talk about something else, then let's see if, yeah, I mean, maybe nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, they had all of their questions resolved between then and now, which is fine. But let's see if anybody wants to talk about that. And then we can go on and talk about whatever anybody else wants to talk about.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the usual reminders, Sherry, if folks would like to talk with you tonight, please press *6 and then 1 to make that show. And if folks could keep the conversation on that one topic in about 5 minutes, that is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, let's
All right.
Started.
Thanks, Michael. Okay.
Okay. Here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail in Arizona.
Hey, Gail.
Hey. You know, this was, again, as usual, perfect timing. I had just finished reading a book called Enlightened Vagabond about the life of Patchal Rinpoche, a very famous Tibetan Rinpoche from the 1800s, and I finished it, like, Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning, you know, we talked about this on the year-long. And my experience with reading the whole book was, why people love this guy. He's rude. He's unappreciative. He beats people up. I mean, he's just this
horrible. Makes Zen look like a bunch of pikers when it comes to being mean to people. Yeah.
And then they're beating each other up all the time. You know, like the this particular monastery is beating up on this other monastery. I mean, beating each other up, hitting each other. And I'm reading this whole book going, huh?
What? What?
And I thought, okay, well, this is a very famous teacher. I'm obviously missing something. And then you brought it up in the workshop on Thursday going, well, you know, we're looking at it through the projections of our conditioned mind. And it was like, thank you. All right, I've got a clue now. And now I have to go back and reread the whole book.
No, or maybe not. Maybe you recall enough of it.
So,
go ahead.
So I'm excited about this, but I don't have anything more to say about that because I'm still sitting here going, what?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then shall we see if we hear from somebody else? And then if you want to, you can jump back in and maybe we will have resolved what in the heck is the matter with those people.
Well, I get because, you know, I'm still stuck. I mean, other than the fact that I was looking at it through conditioned mind, I mean, one more thing I do want to say is that in the stories, you know, it's like the Zen koans that we're working with. They just talk about the bare facts. You know, you don't get facial expressions, you don't get tones of voice, you don't get cultural context, you don't get anything that would help you to understand what it might have looked like.
Mm-hmm. And what it would be like if you were a person of that culture
at that time.
And
I was wondering if maybe that was part of the problem that we have when we're struggling with what got passed down to us.
Well, yeah, and now I'm full disclosure here. I cannot speak to Tibetan Buddhism, and why monks were beating up on other monks in other monasteries. I can't speak to that aspect of it. Probably a lot of it I could with what the guy was doing, but okay. Well, let's see what anybody else comes up with, and then maybe we'll have more information to go on.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Gail. And let me bring on our next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Evening. Hello.
Who's this? Hello?
This is David. Yeah.
Oh, hey, David. Hi.
Hello. So thank you for taking my call. Delighted to be here. I've been looking at this since the invitation last week to call into open air. And the more I look at it, the more questions come up, and the more I realize I know less and less from just asking and looking at the questions. So in the end, where I am is I really don't know. And I'm perfectly great with being that. I'm actually more comfortable being there than having a reaction to the story. I think it's an interesting juxtaposition between the teacher from last week and this week. This week's teacher, the way the story is told, seems to fit more with what I understand to be compassion. But that goes to the question of, well, what is compassion and how do you define it? And how can I know all the expressions of compassion? I can only know my experiences of compassion or my ideas or thoughts of compassion. It would take the entire Sangha and all of the experiences to really completely define what compassion is, and it's going to look different in different settings.
Yes.
And I really am not able to judge what the teacher is doing because it seems that I would need to know intent, what was behind it, because what might look like it's not compassionate with, you know, a different intent might be a very compassionate action. So, and it just goes on and on and on, and you know, I don't feel like I'm lost or out of control, but it's just like, I don't know.
I just don't know. All right. Well, I think that's a great place to be. And again, you know, I'd love to hear from a few more people before I give my perspective on it, because I don't want to disrupt anybody's opportunity to be in koan practice the way the you first two are doing, that deep
okay.
looking. Yeah. All right. Good. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Gassho.
Thanks for joining us, David. And let's find another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Well, I was definitely, I think, the second person called on in the year long, and was definitely feeling like I was hearing voices that were telling me I didn't get this at all about non-separation. And so I heard things throughout the week that were really helpful for me about it's because I think I kept trying to figure out how it would feel. And but I one of the things that really stuck with me is when you said non-separation is when we're not listening to ego. And so mm-hmm. I realized that it could be happening anywhere, anytime. I mean, I feel it when I'm in nature a lot. When I'm not listening to ego and I just am aware of being aware of being with these wonderful trees and birds and clouds. But last night I had such a strange experience of feeling non-separate, feeling kind of one with everything. And it was in the oddest situation. I was driving home on the interstate from Atlanta, and all of a sudden I just felt like all the other cars, the big trucks that were passing me, I just felt at one with everyone around me. And I don't know how it happened, because it had been kind of, when I first got on, there were blue lights everywhere and lanes closed and everybody had to merge. And I just felt so grateful that I had the experience, not something I'd figured out, but something that I experienced.
Uh-huh. All right.
And well, I can't explain it and don't know how to accept that maybe I quit listening to ego and was just being aware.
At least for long enough for that to kind of break through, right?
Yes.
Break through the noise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And that I
yeah.
wasn't super tensed up and I was just like, I'm just here driving my car home. And yeah. It was really, really very wonderful experience.
Right.
So
well, great.
Thank you
good.
for giving clues and to help with this. Again, yes.
With this very mysterious kind of Zen activity.
Yes. Thank
yeah.
you. Gosho.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jude from California.
Hey, Jude.
Hey. So there are a couple of sticky places for me in this story. One is even if I realize that it's conditioned reaction, my body just contracts if somebody comes at me with that kind of energy and calls me a dunce, or wants to hit me with the stick. And then the other sticky place is, where is the discernment? Is this appropriate? What's going on here? You know, that's what I'm looking at.
So one of them, it feels like a physical reaction, just a...
Right, a contraction. Yeah,
and putting up defenses.
Right.
The other one is going to the head to say, what the heck? What?
Right.
What? Wait a minute. What? Where was? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. All right.
Gets me in a loop. It doesn't get me where I want to go.
That's exactly right. And that is a really critical point, isn't it? Although, as other callers have indicated, it doesn't need to be a loop, right? Because, of course, we're going for koan practice. So it's that well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to keep looking at it because I don't know. there must be some clarity here. There has to be clarity here. I'm not seeing it, but I'm not going to just assume anything one way or the other. Uh-huh. I'm going to stay open to what it is, because at least this is the place that has always served me in practice. If I'm going to assume anything, I'm going to assume I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because
good.
Yeah, because you know, Zen has a very long history. And so for there to be, let's see, too terribly much wrong with it, it might not have lasted quite so long. It doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, I'm sure there are abuses right and left, and we've been practitioners long enough to have lived through some of them.
Yes.
And yet, here we have people who pulled out the stories that they felt as deep practitioners, they felt were the most indicative of the truth that Zen represents. Right? And these are the stories they came up with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? So that takes me again to that place of perhaps there's something in this I'm not seeing.
Right, right. Yeah. And I can see the tendency for ego to want to have it handled. You know, let's get this done. I'm here. I'm out of here. Let's make a decision rather than the openness that you're suggesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And for most people, it's I'm out of here.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of here. You know,
right.
I'm not here to be treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's just not okay. I'm going somewhere where people don't get treated that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Good.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Gotcha.
All right, thank you for joining us, Judy. And let me get our next call here, Sherry. And by the way, Sherry, I love that assumption that it must be me missing something here. So let me open.
The odds are so good because it happens so very many times. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan from Iowa, and yes, I have been assuming I am missing something, so I guess I'm on the right track. Yes, so the questions we've been asking, I do stop and I see ego doing its thing, and I'm not feeling a sense, well, in the past, I haven't been seeing a sense of peace. It's like there's still the one who's looking is judging. And I am trying.
And the judgment, Susan, the judgment is?
The judgment is, why can't you you see what you're doing. Why can't you just turn your attention away from the way that ego is behaving and be
uh-huh.
different?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So mm-hmm. I will say this morning, finally, during exercise class, it seems like because this has been going on this whole time, exercise class and everything else, everything I'm doing, I guess I'm grateful that I'm seeing it, whoever is seeing it. But it was this morning, finally, in exercise class, it seems like the body just kind of did its own thing and I kind of could relax and not have to worry for a moment.
Uh-huh.
That was nice.
Uh-huh. So and if I said attention was off of conditioned mind, Would you say, yes, that is what happened?
I would say that. I don't know how it mm-hmm. happened, though, except that I've been mm-hmm. focusing on it for all these months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly so. And then your attention went to something else, something present in the moment, and you were able to experience the difference.
Yes. Well, yes, the body felt so different. I mean, everything felt just different.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Not tensed up against.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you all as well.
All right. Okay. Gosho. And go Gosho. Happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Sherry, let me find our next caller here.
Yeah, we're going to bring on one more caller, and then I'm going to offer something because I bet we're getting ready to go to good news before long, and I want to offer something to folks to, put in the back of their mind while we participate in the good news. Then we come back and talk some more. So let's have one more person. Yeah.
All right. One more caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Bree.
Hey, Bree.
Mine is not about that class. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's hold off then, Bree, if you don't mind. Let's hold off because I would really like to hear from people who are struggling with that koan.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bree. And Sherry, do you want to offer what you have now, or would you like me to bring?
No. Let's hear from somebody else.
All righty. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Todd on Gabriola.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sherry. So this assignment for 2 weeks ago, it brought me to a passage in the book, There's Nothing Wrong With You, which was talking about nice and polite. And I can't exactly remember the context it was said in, but it wasn't the unconditional nice and polite it was pointing at. It was looking at the nice and polite where it has to fit within societal norms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where that story took me it also took me to a few times, actually many times at the monastery in group, where you would firmly, in quotations, admonish the group for being unconscious and unskillful and to look at how we're being bamboozled by ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did that, Todd. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
And my visceral reaction was, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Because it was firm. Yeah. It was firm. And but, boy, in hindsight, when I looked at it, I'm like, wow, I so appreciate what you got us to look at and how you guided us to essentially awaken and suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very good. And I think the part in There's Nothing Wrong With You is trying to encourage people to not confuse, as you say, society's version of nice and polite with compassion.
Oh, there it is. There's the connection.
Because those two don't have anything whatsoever to do with one another. Yeah.
Right. And maybe an outsider without a little bit of practice would project that you were too harsh and abrupt and even on maybe at times rude, but maybe that's what ego needs. Maybe that's what it needs to be. Maybe that's what it takes to cut through the conditioning that we're so heavily burdened with.
Well, Todd, thank you very much. I said to people that I hoped somebody would tee it up for me.
Okay, did I?
And you did a magnificent job. So
good.
So if we go back to you dunce,
Yes.
Hey, this is the part that, this is the part that just flipped everybody out. How could a spiritual teacher talk to somebody like that? Here's how. When you are identified with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, you are a dunce.
Mm-hmm.
When I am identified with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, I am a dunce.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with people is that ego springs up to be offended.
Yeah.
And so here's the teacher calling out ego, right? And people spring to ego's defense.
Yes.
How could you?
Yes.
How could you talk to me that way? How could you call me that name?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we can see the deep spiritual difficulty there, because the person has assumed that ego is me, and I am going to defend that ego.
Yeah.
So I am going to defend that ego against something that, were I to attend to it, mm-hmm. would assist me greatly in the process of waking up and ending suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole deal with that story. Now, again, this is a Zen master and a Zen student, right? So this is not, he's not in the grocery store saying to somebody, "You idiot," right? He is talking to someone who we guess, at least for a period of time, is devoting his life to waking up and ending suffering. And he is identified with ego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the teacher supposed to say, "Oh, honey, you know, it's really not skillful to do that kind of thing"?
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. How many times have we been treated in that way? "Oh, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. It's all right. You know, everybody's unskillful. No, it's not your fault. In fact, you know, if they had, then you wouldn't have had to mm-hmm. get so upset." Right? Did that cause us to wake up?
No.
Or did that simply reinforce the identification with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that was looking for reinforcement?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody says, "Wake up," so it's the, you know, "I'm hysterical and you slap me." I think we've talked about this one, right?
Right?
Is it because you don't like me?
No.
Or because you know I'm gone. Right?
Yeah.
You're doing what you can to get me back here. I've just swallowed something and choked on it. You do a Heimlich maneuver on me. Is it because you're being mean to me? You're being physically abusive to me? You're trying to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Just for everybody to take in the magnitude of believing. And this is it. This is the crux of the matter. Believing that you are that ego that gets upset, offended, gets its feelings hurt, gets upset with when people this or that. If you believe that that's who you are, you're deeply stuck. And if somebody does you the great kindness, the great compassionate offering of something that causes you to come to and question what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're believing, how you're acting. That's where I projected the monk was with the teacher who called him a dunce. That his impulse was to fall down on the floor and kiss that man's feet.
Yeah.
Because he went from being a dunce to being awake.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just so all. It's just all so brilliantly orchestrated by life. The way practice transforms us.
That's right. And the other piece of it, Todd, is this week's story.
Yes.
Because it's not always appropriate to call somebody a dunce.
Right.
Sometimes in the moment, what is going to arise is to offer something else to a person, kindness that they would never expect.
Right.
Based on how they feel about themselves and the way they're acting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can easily project that monk who was slipping over the wall was ashamed of himself.
Oh, definitely.
Didn't feel good about himself. Yeah. Right? There's one of the other stories in this series that where the monk is writing mash notes to one of the female monks.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Right? And he's secretly passing her these notes. And then she stands up in group and says, "If you love me so much, come and kiss me now."
Oh.
And, of course, the guy just dies of humiliation, right? Because that wasn't what he intended at all. He wanted this to all be on the QT, right?
Sure.
He didn't want anybody to know about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that, yeah, oh, did she harm him? By doing that, was that wrong of her? Wouldn't the compassionate thing be to simply ignore him or say, "Please don't do this anymore"? I'm sure other women had given him that encouragement, right? But I bet that caused him to stop and consider his behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was just thinking of the current story where the monk goes over the wall and he comes back and he steps on the master's head. And then the master says, "Oh, it's very chilly out. Don't want to catch a dead cold. You know, maybe you need a jacket." And not and the monk thinking, "Oh, I'm just going to get reprimanded and admonished and kicked out." And instead, he's just, you know, offered all this loving kindness.
Yes.
And he
never
goes over the wall
again.
Because
that was appropriate for him.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the deal. That's what life offers us. Life is
in
constantly offering. Yeah. That's right. Constantly offering us what we need.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is so brilliant.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Well, thank you,
I really appreciate this exploration. It's been awesome. I love calling practice.
Good.
These brilliant, insighting. It just, you know, it just drops in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see.
Just sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to figure it out. Although I did that for so long, trying to figure it out. Which is fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then it drops in that doesn't work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
Todd. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, is there anything else you would like to add before we go to good news?
No, just that I hope people stick with us, listen to good news, and then maybe we can continue the discussion for a bit after good news.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
All right. Me too. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you for Good News Update.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Mary Ann, who is here to speak with us about keeping commitments to ourselves and the commitment tools. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael and
Jen. Hi. You are very faint for me, Mary Ann. I don't know. Michael, can you hear Mary Ann well?
You're very faint.
Okay. Is that better?
No, it sounds almost like you're on the other side of the room from the speaker.
Marianne's logged in twice here also, Jen, so I could try the other. Oh, okay, one is hung up, so let me unmute the other one.
Okay.
Marianne, are you there?
Is this better? Hello.
Much better. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Excellent. So, yes, do tell us, Marianne, keeping commitments to ourselves and the commitment tools.
Well, yes, I have in my notes that keeping commitments is the loving thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share something about my exploration, because I did the best shape, commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really used this tool, because this was my ego's excuse. Well, you are such a disciplined person. You don't really need that.
The best shape possible practice?
So, well, I didn't need to do any kind of commitment, keeping commitment tool. I just need, that wasn't, I've got that anyway. So, of course, it's taking the best shape possible, I got to look at all of that. And not needing it is a bamboozle.
Yeah, and such a great catch, right? Because it's one of those things where it seems really reasonable and logical until suddenly it pops out at you, sort of like people have just been describing in this call, where, oh, wait a minute, hang on, that's a bamboozle.
Yes, I got to see a bunch of bamboozles. You know, just forgetting to do the text, deciding that really, you know, I'm not sure that this works. Does this make any difference? Or it's too much effort. Really, you know, cost benefit analysis. For all the effort I put in, I don't think I get anything. Or you're fine. So, you know, I just saw a lot of the ego bamboozles that have prevented exploration and were starting to prevent exploration. So yeah. what I had signed up for was content, was because I had broken my arm and my leg both at the same time, I needed to do exercises. Well, I was kind of motivated anyways, but I did them. And I kept my, you know, followed the program. And what I saw was that it wasn't the content that where I felt the benefit.
Yeah.
It was something else. So I was so surprised. So paying attention.
You were so surprised that the benefit was beyond the physical. So there, you broke your arm, you broke your leg. There's a certain protocol you need to do, which, you know, but it's funny, Marianne, isn't it? Because you think, well, I mean, you know, you have to do it anyway. But plenty of people don't, you know, do the physical therapy, I'm sure, that you were being asked to do. But you did. So there's an obvious physical benefit to that. But it goes way beyond that. And that sounds like what you really were realizing is, wow, the big benefit isn't even on the physical level. It's on a whole other level.
Yes, and that's why I thought, so that's why I wanted to talk about keeping commitments, because it's like our practice. You're practicing,
yeah.
But what you get is not what you expect.
Yeah. Amen. It's like people talk about you sit in meditation, and it seems like, I mean, you know, there's the conversation. Well, what is this doing? I mean, come on, you know, blah, 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 right? But then you realize, wow, my life is really different, right? And the only thing that's changed is that I'm meditating. So that's so true. Often the benefits are way beyond what the logical mind would say. And back to the cost-benefit analysis piece, like when you were laying out that conversation, excuse me, it's such a pernicious conversation, right? Because it takes a human life and then starts to parse what's worth it, what's not worth it, and then that you language, well, what are you really getting out of this, right? And all designed to talk you out of it. And then you don't get talked out of it. Even through that conversation, you stay with it. And I project that's where the huge benefit starts to be experienced is, wow, I can actually trust myself. And that's the huge benefit that comes out of this, because that's applicable everywhere in our life.
Yes. And what... So I think that there is the bamboozles, and then there was kind of a recognition of the learning edge is where the resistance is, and then kind of going into that a bit deeper. And what I saw by the end of the program was that I had developed a kind of confidence in myself. A sense of mastery, and a love for this person that I have been looking for.
Wow, beautifully put, Marianne. Beautifully put. Yeah, that what I hear you saying is, you discover in that process that, you know, we don't. Well, we talk about it in practice a lot in many, many ways. But for me, at least, it can get really subtle to realize is how much the voices control our life experience, and that can have sort of the impact of feeling like, you know, we can't. You know, we're told we can't do that, and we believe it. Well, I can't do that, right? But we never stop to look at, well, how do I know I can't do that? There's just a voice in my head saying I can't do that. So in a process like what you're describing, you actually prove to yourself that the voice doesn't know, and the voice doesn't get to tell you. And so there is a tremendous sense of, I forget what word you used, confidence, a tremendous sense of confidence that can come with that, because you realize that voice is not in charge of your life. You get to choose what you, how you want to be and what you want to work with and the commitments that you want to keep. And with that comes that beautiful sense of, here's this person whose love I've been looking for. I can't, you said it more articulately than that, but essentially there's that relationship, right? I'm with someone who loves me in my life instead of that conversation that's always working against me.
Yeah. So I signed up right away for the next commitment buddy program. And then of course, the ego started in again, and I went and went, oh, what are you going to do? It was something about what did I need to fix about myself? And I just went, no, I'm going to do what I learned from this one, which was
wonderful.
I'm going to do a commitment to record every day to connect to myself, to connect to this person that I love.
I love it, Marianne. And what you're saying is, when we stick with something, first of all, we're led so beautifully, right? And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So from that first initial commitment and keeping that commitment and paying attention to the whole process, the next thing is, it's just, oh, okay, sign up for the next commitment buddies, and you do. And then the voice is saying, well, you know, trying to talk to you in the same old program. Like, what's going to improve you? And what drops in is, no, actually, I'm going to do something that's going to deepen the relationship that began as this process was unfolding. So perfect. And what we can know is, well, as we keep going, that's going to just keep happening. That unfolding is just going to keep continuing. We're led so perfectly.
Yes. So I just felt like... I wanted to make a little promo for taking making a commitment to yourself and keeping it, and just seeing, wow, where does this lead? And the huge benefit of just getting so much more connected to myself, and it, you know, it's an antidote to all the years of self-hate.
Yeah, yeah, truly, truly. Well, and in that moment of feeling, experiencing that connection, there is no self-hate. So it is ended in that moment.
Yes. Anyways, yeah. I bow to the tools of practice.
Me too. And bowing to your willingness to participate in this way, Marianne. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. Kesho.
Kesho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that was fabulous.
Yes, and Marianne beautifully brought in the other piece of this whole conversation. She made every point, actually. But the primary one that I would ask people to consider is that most people allow a voice in their head to be disrespectful, dismissive, rude, controlling, manipulative, right? And the list goes on and on, right? And that is allowed. I mean, maybe resisted or, you know, I don't want to have that, but it's allowed. There isn't the level of upset that with that voice that there would be with another person who said something actually no worse to them than they hear in their head regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As you were talking, what dropped in was like a master-slave relationship.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And no one is allowed to offend the master. Mm-hmm. The slave is so enslaved that it will go to the defense of the master instead of saying, yay, when that ogre goes, I'm free.
Yes.
Which is, again, a part of what played right through what Marianne was describing. How the shift goes from, I'm going to be in relationship with this conversation that is slowly leaking the life out of me, and I'm gonna stop that. I'm gonna end that, and I'm gonna get in relationship with the person I've always been looking for, unconditionally loving presence.
Amen, sister.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's see, shall we, if anybody has anything to say about any of that.
Yes, indeed. Here we go.
I hope they do.
I'm sure they will. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is J.O.
Hey, J.O.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. This topic is so big, and I love it, and I appreciate that we're looking at it. It feels like there's so many things, but I know there's lots of people. So just to say, like, one thing that has come up for me a lot is, I think this thing that we are looking at is one of the things that I love the most about this practice when I'm not identified, you know, with ego of get me out of here or whatever, right? Like I went to this place of, you know, I have such a historic karma of everything's my fault, I'm doing everything wrong. That's just been a huge place of practicing to get free of that. And I was in one of those states one time with the guide, and I was just hysterical, you know, just about what, and I think I did this and I blah, you know, in this place, right? And the guidance was, stop it, you know. It was sort of the Bob Newhart, but it was really like firm, enthusiastic, you know, all of those places. And I am so grateful for that because of exactly what we're looking at here. Like one more person, what happened for me in that moment was I saw that one more person just mirroring a version of me that I identified with of, oh, I'm just this inadequate person that always does everything wrong. And someone would say, oh, it's okay. It wasn't your fault. And, then it would. It would reinforce it. I would just be in that same place, you know, 2 days later, right? And I really want to wake up and end suffering. And I'm really grateful, even though it's wildly uncomfortable at times, depending on, you know, where I am and being with the sensations. But what feels like happened was what was mirrored back in that stop it. It was like, wake up. That's not what you are. Because then I was suddenly able to see, I was consulting the inside of my head, which has never steered me well, you know, had, right? Has
never been on your side once.
Never been on my side. My whole life, I mean, that's what brought me to practice, was just depression and misery, because I was always referencing the inside of my head, you know? And it was like, no, if you keep looking there, you're going to get that same story and you will live and die in that story. But if you will wake up, you get to see. I felt like it was, I was being shown, like, you're not that. You can step back and look to clarity, and life can inform this thing that you broke. And what I, you know, there's a completely different way to be available to the information. But I needed that, you know, that cut through, because otherwise I was just so lost in that repeating story over and over again. And I just, so that's just come up for me so many times through this process. And the other thing that keeps coming up, when you said something in the conversation with Todd, but about, oh, in meditation, but like in the meditation orientation video, right, there's that thing about, you know, training a puppy, and that, you know, we can't let the puppy wander off into these dangerous places. Like if my puppy is in the middle of the road and there are cars coming, I'm not going to be like, oh, come here, sweetie, come on. I'm going to be like, get over here, because the puppy's going to get killed, you know? And that's what I got in that moment, is I'm going to be killed by these voices of negativity and misery that are just making, you know, just telling me terrible things. I'm never going to get out of that if somebody doesn't say, get out of the road. So anyway, I'm really grateful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. There's an actual testimonial from a person who has been yelled at, not called a dunce,
and I appreciated it. And now I just practice it. I'll just, you know, I mean, I still can get, you know, absolutely identified. But it, the other piece that I look at is like practicing with the sensations, because in which meditation I feel like helps so much to, I can stand these sensations, because when I'm identified with ego, it's like, I can't stand this, you know, someone's mad at me or whatever. But if I can stay through that initial, like, ooh, you know, oh my gosh, it's a huge mushroom of sensations, and stay with where you started this off too, of like, huh, there's probably something that I'm not seeing. So if I can ride this out and not run away or whatever, you know, then I'm going to get to see, you know, what is being pointed to. I've raised my hand and said, I want to be in a practice that will help me wake up. So they're probably trying to show me something here. And if I can, you know, ride it out through these intense sensations, there's something else I can see that nobody else in polite society is going to tell me. They're going to let me stay stuck because we think we're being polite. And anyway, I'm very grateful. So, you know, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Jo. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right.
Gosh, Joe. Thanks for joining us, J.O. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
What J.O. didn't say is that on another occasion, because she doesn't want people to think that I actually am that person, I think that the response was, you need to shut up.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. That's courageous practice to stay there and to see what she has been able to see as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hi, Sherry. As you may recall, I had a guidance appointment with you about a year ago, and got what at the time felt like a slap in the face. And I took it it seemed like I was taking it in, recognizing that there is something I'm missing. And, you know, looking at how to be trustworthy with myself, which seemed to me to be, you know, not listening to conditioned mind, keeping commitments to myself and to my practice, and starting over, being back in the beginner's mind attitude about waking up and ending suffering. And then over this year, I'm suspecting that conditioning has gotten in there and morphed and is actually beginning to make a distance between myself and my commitment to practice. And it seems like the lever it's using is, I know what the point of that was. I know what it means to start over. And I want to be refreshed. I want another smack. I am not going to let conditioning do this to me. Mm-hmm. Practice and ending suffering are more important. And
Ramita, it sounds to me like what you're describing is that at a certain point in practice, we learn to slap ourselves. Right? Right? It drops in, as you say. It drops in that, whoa, wait a minute, I'm slip-sliding here. I don't want to do that. And I don't need to wait until I get so far out there that something shocks me into waking up. I don't want to do that. I could, but I don't want to. And so I got the message. And in this case, you got it from you, right? You didn't get it from me. You didn't get it from practice. You got it from you. The awareness dropped in that I think I'm getting I'm in danger of bamboozle land here, and I need to recommit. I need to take stock. And that's what blot dots are, right? So to keep us from running into the ditch, sometimes we have a guardrail. But after a while, we don't need guardrails any longer because we kind of get to the blot dot and we come to and realize, whoa, 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 I need to get back to center. You know what blot dots are?
No.
Okay, on a highway, you know those little round things? Yeah, when you hit them? Yeah, blot dots. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, well, you've just been driving a lot, so I bet you do know. You know, they bring you to, right? Oh, I'm drifting off here.
You're off track.
Yeah, I'm off track. I need to get back on track. Yeah, so it's very good.
Okay, so, yes. So I'm capable of waking myself out of that, of recognizing.
No. You're capable of being receptive when the information drops in.
Yes, being here to hear the guidance.
That's it.
Here's a,
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ramita.
Thank you, Sherry. Gasho.
Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. And Sherry, we are 2 minutes to the hour here.
Let's hear from one other person.
All right.
I have 3 minutes till my watch is more lenient.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Margaret in California.
Hey, Margaret.
What an amazing show today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. In part of our first conversation, what kept dropping in for me is and this is my presumption when I'm reading Zen stories too, is like, we are here to wake up, if whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And don't have time to talk about it now, but I do have this situation in my life where I work for a person who is very difficult and triggers all these kinds of things. And as someone said earlier, it's like life is constantly offering us what we need to wake up. And the sword example, the water example, and then the ladder and the head. I mean, they're all just various ways that points where waking up can happen. In the story of the water, what brought it up for me, it took me to a place of reverence for everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As the lesson that there is the oneness and reverence for everything, even a few drops of water.
Yes. Nothing is insignificant. And you know, Margaret, when you talk about the person that you work for who's difficult, that's such a piece of it. As long as I can be upset, I'm not free.
Right.
And so I want to just find every darn thing that I can get upset about so that I can do what the previous caller was talking about of realizing I can make it through those sensations. I can see those voices for what they are. I can move through that and be free of that, and I want to.
Yeah, and I can also see how there are places during the time that when I'm with her where I am not aware of awareness. You know, I'm sort of just into either walking on eggshells or, you know, watching
survival
TV or, you know, just doing something else. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm enthused about really taking that situation as a huge practice opportunity. I want to wake up.
Yeah, as Dharma combat. Imagine imagine that she's the Zen master, that she actually is in the present and is just offering you experience after experience after experience so that you can see the transformation in yourself.
Yes, that's exactly what I, you know, throughout this whole show, it's like, oh, this person is my Zen master. You know?
Yeah, yes, my Bodhisattva.
Yeah. Changes the whole attitude and orientation to, you know, going to work.
Oh, yeah. And to difficult people. Oh, my teacher. My teacher. Oh.
Yeah, and
okay.
I'm trapped just with this person, just me and her. So.
Yeah. You're just like the folks in the story. It's one-on-one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
And also, this keeping in mind too, like there is no other. So just recognizing that all of the suffering is arising in me. I can project she's suffering too, but I'm not. That's not my problem.
Exactly. All of this is happening within me.
Yeah.
And trying to arrange externals so that things won't happen within me. What a fruitless path.
Yeah, and in this situation, it's clear that that will never happen, you know, externally.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all for me.
It's a gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get paid, Margaret, and you're getting paid.
And I get paid. Yes.
Today I did
gratitudes about that, too. I was like, there was maybe 30 minutes of bad and, you know, 14 hours of fine.
I'm on retreat and I'm getting paid. What a deal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you, Margaret.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Go show. And thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. That was a fabulous show. Incredible.
Good. All right. And, of course, I'm hoping it opens up lots and lots of discussions going forward. Lots of discussions. Because one of the things that people always have available is ask.
Yeah.
Don't stay stuck in a conversation and conditioned mind. Let's get it out in the open.
Sounds great.
All right.
Sure.
Thanks again, Michael. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.